Well, if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you know that we are in a message series called In God We Trust. And it's an interesting phrase that we have printed on all of our money and our coins. But actually, we have to ask the question, do we really trust God when it comes to our finances? Do we operate? Do we have the attitudes? Do we spend money in accordance with what the Bible says? And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that there's all sorts of financial issues going on. Our government, we're facing tough questions and decisions that have to be made. Actually, one of the things, I was very disappointed in the, what is it called, sequestration. One of the things that get grounded are all the jet performance teams, like the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds. I tell you what, that's going to, my air shows this summer aren't going to nearly be as exciting without those. But for many others, it's much more serious consequences. But we're stuck with these issues. And not only do we have problems on a national level, but we've talked the last few weeks about the increasing difficulties that the everyday family is having. There's actually an article I just saw on Yahoo.com on their front page that says, a one-time staple unaffordable for most families, and that's a new car. That sort of was a one-time staple that most families can't afford a new car. I don't think you should buy a new car anyway. I think you should always buy used. But, you know, it's sort of the sign of the times. And so instead of looking at the government for a bailout or something else, we're looking into God's Word to see how God can direct us to wisely handle our money in a way that honors Him. And so we started off the first week and we said the foundation of this is really boils down to this. That we have to learn to be content in life. That many times our yearnings often outpace our earnings, and we just want, we want, and we want, and we want, and we base our value and success in life on our material possessions. And when we can finally shake that mindset, we can really begin to look at things in a new light. And that not being content leads to where we talked last week was debt. What does the Bible say about debt? And how someone who's in debt is a slave to the lender. And so we talked about some of these things and how the Bible, what the Bible has to say about those things. And next week we're going to be looking at generosity and how we use our money and giving and honoring God in that way. But today I want us to look at a principle that's found in the Scripture that is here on my outline. If you have your outline, go ahead and take it out today. It's in your bulletin. Now, it's been already brought to my attention that instead of the normal 3 points that I usually have in my sermon outlines, there are 6. So buckle up. We're going to have a good ride today. I hope you're not going anywhere for lunch. I'm just teasing. We're going to try to get it done. Maybe. We're going to try to get this done. We got a lot of material to cover. Really, each one of these points in and of itself could be their own message, but we're going to look at these things here. And this idea of sowing and reaping. Now, first I want to make a disclaimer, and I've made this every week that I give this message, and that is this: we are not a prosperity gospel church. And what I mean by that is that there are some churches out there that'll preach that God wants everyone to be a millionaire, and if you're not a millionaire, then you're doing something wrong in your life, and God, you know, God's withholding a blessing, and if you do X, Y, and Z, then you're going to be a millionaire. No, we don't believe that. Matter of fact, I believe that the New Testament actually shows quite a different picture. However, we do recognize that in Scripture, there are indications and there are promises that are given that if you do something, and if you act in accordance to God's will and in the Scriptures, then you will be blessed. Now, sometimes that's a financial blessing, and that's wonderful. But sometimes they're blessings that manifest themselves in other ways in your life. And so, you know, this idea that, you know, if you're not a millionaire, then you're not being blessed by God, there's something wrong with your life. We just don't subscribe to that. I don't believe that's what Scripture teaches. And so we're going to look at what I believe is more in line with what the Scriptures teach about handling money. And so today we're going to talk about the principle we find in Scripture over and over of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Now, these are agricultural terms, sowing and reaping. It's back for thousands of years, farmers, they didn't go in a row and plant a seed and dig a hole and do that. They didn't certainly have any farm type of equipment that would plant the seeds for them. A farmer in this day and age would have had maybe a small parcel of land. Now, they would have been able to get whatever piece of land was available, and usually it's not this, you know, great field where there's lots of good soil. There were multiple types of soil. There wasn't a lot of there weren't a lot of things to be able to change the conditions of the soil. And so what the farmer would do is he had wore a knapsack. And in his knapsack, he had his knapsack full of seed. And in that seed, he would take it out and he would throw it. He would broadcast that seed. And that was called sowing. It was most likely a wheat or some sort of grain. And what would happen is some of that seed would fall on soil that it wouldn't produce. Some of it wouldn't get down into the soil, so the birds would come and take it away. But for some of that seed, it got planted on the good soil, and it would grow. And the scripture constantly, several times, points that the Christian life often is like this idea of sowing and reaping, that we're sowing seeds in life. Whether they're financial seeds, sometimes they're seeds of attitude, sometimes they're seeds that of time, of energy, of success, of relationships, seeds of evangelism, that when we plant these seeds, some of them are going to take root and they're going to grow. And so we're going to look at six principles of the harvest this morning. Now, while this is a financial series, a lot of this will apply to finances. But some of it applies to that much broader spectrum and category that I just discussed here. So we're going to look at our first verse here. I have lots of scriptures here, so we're just going to read through these. I have all the scriptures listed in your bulletin. We're probably not going to have time to turn to every one of these in your scriptures and your Bibles. So you can take this home, look these up at home, and do some further study there. But the first passage I want us to read is out of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 11, verse 18. Now, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18 was written by Solomon. If you recall, we talked last week and the week before that Solomon was one of the richest men that ever lived. And if you recall, he had the opportunity to ask God for anything. And I think sometimes if we had the opportunity to ask God for anything, we would, you know, ask for all sorts of petty things. But Solomon, he asked for wisdom. And so he was given wisdom, and we see this wisdom throughout the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 11:18 says this, "A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward." You know what he's saying here, and this is specifically a financial, he's talking about wages, it deals with money specifically. He's saying this, that a person who earns money deceptively, a person who goes out and they cheat their employees, or they cheat the government, or they cook the books to make it look like they're doing better than they really are to gain investors, or a person who goes out, he earns his wages deceptively. But the one who sows righteousness, the one who handles their finances, handles their business through what the Bible teaches, reaps a sure reward. Well, how do we get that sure reward? How do we know if we're sowing the right type of seeds and we're sowing in a way that honors God? Well, let's look at these six points here in the scriptures that tell us that. Well, the first principle of the harvest is that seeds need to be planted. Everything in life starts as a seed. Every idea is a seed. Every dream is a seed. Every achievement is a seed. Every building that was ever built, it was first a seed of thought. A seed of an idea. Your life began as a seed. Everything starts as a seed on this planet. And God created the world around this principle of things grow from seeds. And we look at that in the first chapter of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 11. I have in your bulletin it says 1:1, but it's chapter 1, verse 11. And that's this. It says, "Then God said, let land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds, and it was so." He says, basically, everything is going to be produced by a seed. You know, everyone's heard of the old cliche that anybody can count the amount of seeds in an apple, right? You can cut open an apple and you can count 6 or 7 seeds in there, sometimes 8 or more. But here's the thing, only God knows the amount of apples that come from that seed. Because that seed has exponential potential. You take that one seed and you plant it in the ground, and a big giant tree forms, and it bears lots and lots of apples. You know, I'm what I would call an amateur gardener. And what I mean by that is my gardens are no longer than about 8 feet by 10 feet. So, you know, that's pretty small. And we primarily try to plant tomatoes. We haven't had one in a few years. But tomatoes and peppers, we like making salsa. But it's amazing to me that the tomato seed is this little tiny seed. But when it's planted, when it's put in the dirt, and when it's given the opportunity, it grows into a huge plant that produces tomatoes all year long. And what we have to realize is that you and I plant seeds every day, whether we realize it or not. By the decisions that we make, by the attitudes that we have, by the actions that we demonstrate, we're planting seeds. Now, the thing is, not only do you have to have the seed, but you have to have that seed planted in order for it to grow. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus was describing his own life when he was comparing his life to a seed and his death and being buried into the ground. It says, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, just as Jesus had died, didn't he? He says, unless it's dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. And that's the message paraphrase there. It's this idea that everything starts with a seed. And you and I are the ones who have to plant the seeds for things to happen in our life. And so when we get there, we know that the seeds need to be planted. You see, some of you think you're waiting on God for some things to happen in your life. You're waiting on God for that perfect job. You're waiting on God for that spouse. You're waiting on God to make more money. You're waiting on God to be more successful in your business. And we sort of sit around and we think, okay, God, pour it on me. Here I am. But the reality is, things just don't happen. And the whole time while we think we're waiting on God, if we're not planting seeds, if we're not taking action, God says, hey, I'm waiting for you to be faithful, to step out in faith, to do the things that are going to bring the exponential multiplication of the blessings in your life. For several years, my wife and I, my wife particularly, ran a home-based business. And part of that business was to get other people set up in their own businesses. And I would be amazed at the amount of people who would come to us and they would say, oh, I have this financial need in my life. I have this need that I need to make more money in life. I need to be successful. I need to do this. The things are so terrible. The bill collectors are calling. And can you help us? And we'd be like, absolutely. But here's what you have to do. You have to devote time. You have to be disciplined to do things. You have to invest a little bit. You have to, you know, go out and make things happen. And so many people who were sitting there telling us all their financial woes looked at us and like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. And I thought, how sad that a person would rather sit than plant seeds. See, we all have the seeds. That's what God gives us. But are we planting them? Allowing them to grow? See, something in your life, if you need to change, it's not going to change until you plant some seeds. Everything starts for the seed. A relationship, a marriage, a business, a church, everything. And nothing happens until that seed is planted. Well, why does God do it like this? Because planting seeds is an act of faith. I have to take a little bit of what I have and I have to give it away. I have to put it in the ground and bury it. And that takes faith. And sometimes, you know what, we're afraid to step out in faith. We're afraid to, you know, we come up with all sorts of excuses. I don't want to work that hard. I don't think I can do that. I'm not talented that way. I don't have that to invest. And, you know, people would say, we don't have this investment. Yet, you know, they would go and buy a big screen TV and tell us, you know, which was more than the investment. They'd say, hey, look what I just got. I'm like, what? It just doesn't make sense to me. We need to be willing to plant seeds, and that takes faith. Here's the principle. Whatever I need, I have to plant a seed. Now, I don't know what your needs are today, whether it's more time, whether it's more energy, whether it's more money, whether it's more help, more relationships, more wisdom. I don't know what it is that you need in your life today. But when I have a need, I have to realize I have to plant a seed. But too often we just want to sit around and throw a pity party for ourselves. Woe is me. So many bad things are going on in my life. I just can't get ahead in my finances. Every relationship in, doesn't seem to work out. And we have all of these woe is me. Instead of complaining about it, I think it's time that we start investing and planting seeds. And something begins to happen once we do that. And that leads us to our second principle, which is this. You reap what you sow. This is so true. This is the double-edged sword. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. I want to give a quick story that happened to me yesterday that is proof of this. My son and I were coming home from a birthday party, and my youngest son, he's 9 years old, and we're coming home from this birthday party, and he just had a great time. It was actually for an older person, but he went out and he was dancing around and having all, and he was just in a good mood. And he's, my youngest son, he's real special because he just seems to always have a smile on his face. He has his moments, but most of the time, that's his MO, you know? And the great thing was, is we were sitting in the car, just he and I who were driving back, and we were heading up Hart Strait Road from the south side of town, and we were, I was driving on Hart Strait, and we were going over the hill right by House of Prayer. Now, who usually hangs out at the bottom of that little crest at the House of Prayer? The police officer, exactly. Yeah, oh, Sheriff, we got a couple. How many of you have ever gotten a ticket there? Yeah, I see some hands up. Well, apparently, I may or may not have been going. I may not, because I have to go what he is telling me, because truthfully, I wasn't paying attention. But I do know that I had that impulse when I saw him. I hit the brakes. And I was still going over the speed limit. So, come to find out, he follows, he pulls out behind me, and he puts on his lights, and he pulls me over. And so here I am. I'm like, great. You know, I didn't have my seatbelt on. Tags were expired. The whole nine yards. So the officer, he gets out of his car. And I got to love my son, because he's in such a good mood. I mean, he's laughing and joking. And he goes, uh-oh, Dad, they're coming to get you. So I roll down the window. And the police officer leans in. And my son does the sort of the Nixon thing. He goes, we surrender. We surrender. And that officer just started laughing, and he had a little bit of a belly on him. He's, oh, I mean, the big Santa Claus laugh. And he takes my driver's license, he looks at it, he says, now, I know no one drives 30 here, but, you know, where you were going, I'm not saying, where you were going was a little fast. Hey, just you just take it easy. And he looked at my son, he said, now you tell your dad to slow down, and he let me go. And here is where I tell you what, you reap what you sow. And my son reaped a good attitude. He reaped something that was funny. And guess what? I sowed the benefit. He sowed, and I reaped the benefit of not getting a ticket yesterday afternoon on our way home from that party. So anyway, so you reap what you sow. A man reaps what he sows. See, this either works positively in your life, or it works negatively in your life. It can work for you, or it can work against you. I know that if I go out and I sow seeds of kindness, guess what I'm going to get back in return? Kindness. If I sow seeds of generosity, guess what I'm going to get back in return? Generosity. If I sow seeds of grace and forgiveness and love, then those are the things that I'm going to receive back in return. How do I know that? Because this is a promise in God's Word. But the same is true. If I go out and I see negativity, and I throw seeds of judgment, and I sow seeds of critical thinking, or not critical thinking, of being a critical of other people and criticizing. If I go out and look for weaknesses in people to just destroy them and make them feel bad about themselves, guess what I'm going to receive? You know, some people, they wonder why they don't ever have relationships, why nobody wants to hang out with them. And the whole lifetime, they're sowing seeds of judgment. They're sowing seeds of being critical and picking apart a person's life. And they're never able to do anything right. And that person says, oh, I don't understand why this is happening to me. But it is. And we have to be careful that we don't sow those seeds that bring a harvest of negative and sinful things. Hosea chapter 10 verse 13 says, "You planted wickedness and now you have reaped evil." You know, oftentimes we want to sow one thing and reap a harvest of something else, don't we? We want to go out and we want to be critical of people. And we want to get our way. We want to be selfish. We want to be stingy. But yet we question God, say, "Well, why aren't you blessing me in my life when you're not sowing any of these seeds that are positive?" I have a friend in my life that we were actually baptized at the same time, at the same week of camp when we were in fifth grade. And through life and through high school, we chose two relatively different paths. And God has been gracious and reunited us after many years of being apart. And this guy is at the bottom of life. I mean, he is at the end of his rope. He is truly broken. And I remember he was talking to me the other day, and he said, "Chad, I don't understand why God doesn't love me." And I had to, you know, give him some scripture that points to some of these things, because here's what happened. He was looking at my life and he said, "Look, you get to go on vacations. Your wife didn't leave you. Your kids respect you. You know, you have a house you live in. You drive, you know, cars." I mean, this is where he is. I mean, he's out a vehicle right now. I mean, he's just at that point. And I remember, though, that about high school, we started sowing very different seeds. See, around high school, now, don't get me wrong, I sowed plenty of bad seeds. But, you know, I was trying to sow good seeds while he went around and sowed seeds of resentment and anger. Seeds of judgment, seeds of pot, literally. you know, started making a lot of bad choices. I didn't say that in the first service. Yes. But then he wonders why his life is a mess, and he blames God, and he looks at me and says, "I have an easy life." Now, the fact of the matter is, it's the law of sowing and reaping. You're going to reap what you sow. We're going to revisit my friend here in just a few minutes, but let's move on to this third point, and that is this: the harvest takes time. This is a hard one, isn't it? Wow. We want to plant seeds, and we want to dig them up instantly after we plant them and have it produce fruit. And guess what? It doesn't happen that way, does it? Matter of fact, Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, there's a time to plant and a time to uproot, and they're not the same time. And so between the time where you plant a seed and between the time that it grows and produces some sort of fruit, there is a period. And that period has different lengths for different situations and different people. But we have to trust that God is working in those things. You see, we become a culture of instant results. And I blame it all on the Polaroid camera. Anybody here have a Polaroid camera? Is that one point? Yeah. They produced the worst pictures of all time. The quality was just terrible. But back in the day, now all the kids who are in here, your teens, we didn't have digital stuff, okay? It wasn't, you didn't just take it and be able to post it on and do all those other things. So anyway, you had to take your film, and really this is before the 1 hour photo stuff. You had to put it in a bag down at the drugstore, and they sent it off to the photo processing lab, and 3 weeks later, you got to go pick up your prints. Well, here comes the Polaroid camera, and you could take a picture, and it instantly popped out. Now, it was terrible quality, and it smelled funky, okay? But Polaroid cameras set sales records because people were willing to sacrifice quality for the instant gratification of having the picture. A lot of us face debt because we're unwilling to take the time and save for something, and we want it now, and we can go out and put it on our credit card. See, you know, saving and finances, that is a harvest that takes time. Investing is a harvest that takes time. Relationships are harvests that takes time. All of these things. And let me ask you something. Would you rather have a tomato that was ripened on the vine and stayed on the vine until it was ripe and picked and you eat it? Or would you rather have one of those tomatoes that you buy at the grocery store? And they're picked in Mexico because it's way too cold in Indiana to be growing tomatoes. And they're picked very green. They put them in a box and they ship them across the country. And then when they get to close to the place, they get gassed. And I'm not even sure what they get gassed with, but it instantly ripens, that it turns them red. And then when you get it, it looks like a good tomato, but I have had perfectly good looking tomatoes that you think should taste delicious. And you cut through it and it's hard as a rock. That thing's not ripe, it's just red. You know, would you rather have a tomato that has been ripened on the vine, that has all the flavor, that has all the juice, or would you rather have one of those grocery store ones? I tell you what, I want the one that takes the time to develop naturally. And that's where we need to be in life. We need to realize that the harvest takes time. And we have to be patient through those periods where we're planting seeds and sometimes we don't see the instant results. I think because of that, we're so quick to jump from relationship to relationship. We jump from job to job. We jump from this because it's not happening quick enough for us, rather than letting God mature that process. Well, the fourth thing I want us to look at here is the more you plant, the more you reap. And this comes from Mark chapter 4, verse 8. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And we look at that, and when we plant a seed, and we're patient, and we let it grow, then God will multiply it far beyond our expectations. But guess what? The same is true when we plant negative seed. When I was talking to my friend, we were texting back and forth, not even really talking. And he said something as I shared with him one of these passages. And I'm done with just giving people the answers and telling them what I think they need to hear. And I just point them to Scripture now. And what's great is they just have all these questions. And so I pointed him to this verse. And he says, well, in life I really wasn't that bad. My past wasn't that bad. And you're right, you know what, you may plant a negative seed. And it may not seem like a big deal at the time. But the problem is, just as good things reproduce and exponentially reproduce, so do the negative things. He traced a situation that he's dealing with now all the way back to a situation when he was 16 years old. And how it just blossomed into this huge fiasco that is strapping him down in his life now. You know, sort of like the lie that you tell to cover a lie that was told to cover another lie that's told to cover another. And before you have this big lie snowball, you don't even know the truth in that. And so we have to realize that the more you plant, the more you reap. And sometimes we have to plant more good things to compensate for our bad plantings as well. But the more you plant, the more you reap. The fifth principle I want us to look at here is, now is the time to plant. This is so important. Now is the time to start planting. Sometimes we look at our lives and we think it's full of regrets. We think, well, I've missed my opportunity to do this, or I'm too old to do that, or whatever. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3 or 4. It says this, and this is the Message paraphrase. When the clouds are full of water, it rains. When the wind blows down a tree, it lies where it falls. Don't sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. Which basically is this. How many times do we say, when this is in order, I'm going to do this? Or one of these days, I'm going to do this. One of these days, I'm going to start serving in church. One of these days, I'm going to start investing in my future financially. One of these days, I'm going to be generous with my money. One of these days, I'm going to be a better husband. One of these days, I'm going to be a better wife. One of these days, I'm going to be a better employee. What happens is, one of these days winds up being none of these days, because we're all waiting for the perfect environment or the perfect circumstance. Well, I'll give more once I start making more. No, you won't. If you're not willing to have that generosity in your heart, it doesn't matter how much money you make. One of these days, when I tell you what, when I get things settled in my life, I'm really going to start serving the Lord. Folks, I know a lot of retired people who are more busy in retirement than they were ever in their working lives. There is never going to be a time when things are going to be ideal for you to start serving the Lord. You just have to start doing it now. I love young couples that say, we're going to wait to have children until we're ready. You're never ready to have kids. We look at these things. Now is the time to start planting. Why? Because if you start planting now, regardless if you're 13, 30, or 70, or 80, if you start planting now, you will have a greater time for that harvest to grow and to mature and to turn into something great. See, now is the time to start planting. Well, the sixth principle that I want us to look at today is don't give up. Don't give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. This is a verse that I have held to many times in my life when I wanted to quit, when I wanted to throw in the towel. When you think, man, it's just not going to get any better. If you're planting the right kind of seeds, I promise you, it'll get better. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, this is important, the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. But at the proper time, who determines that time? God. Some of you are in job searches and you're ready just to throw, I'm giving up, I can't do it anymore. Hang in there, okay? Plant those positive seeds. Those things that God wants you to do. Some of you are in relationships that you think you're ready to give up on. Hang in there, because if you and your spouse are committed to doing the right things, it will get better. How do I know that? Because this is a promise from God in the Scriptures. It's the sowing and the reaping. So if you're sowing those right things. Now you may be in a situation where there's an extended period of nothing happening in a situation of your life that you're waiting for something to happen in. And there's two things that can be going on. One, God could just be working behind the scenes, maturing you and waiting for circumstances and different things to be choreographed something together perfectly. Or the other option is that you're still planting those negative bad seeds. And if you're planting those negative bad seeds, things aren't going to get better. Well, how do you know if you're planting the right seeds? The only way I can tell you this is to be in God's Word. To know the Scriptures, to know how you can live your life in a way that honors Him. One thing that I am sure of is that God uses difficult times to get our attention and to change us many times. If you are going through a difficult financial situation in your life, God may be using that pain to get your attention to say, you need to sow some different seeds here. You need to stop sowing the seed of out-of-control spending and debt and going on trips you can't afford and having things that you just don't have the money for. Or He may be telling you, hey, it's time to get a new job that pays a little bit more money. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and so if that is, God may be using this to get your attention. It's the same relationally. It's the same with all of these things. We cannot give up. You know, one of the things that's oftentimes easy in ministry to do is to get frustrated when things don't go the way we think they should or the way we want them to in ministry. And the churches give up. And I see this a lot of time in churches, and we go back to our other point of churches that sit around and say, well, when we get a better preacher or we get a better building or when we get more money or we're going to do ministry. And the bottom line is, you know what, God wants us to be active where we are now. He wants us to be planting those seeds. And when the difficult times come, He doesn't want us to give up. Because in doing good for the proper time, and that's God's timing, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So today, as you leave here and as we go out to work next week and on Monday, and you go to do your thing and you're going to be with your family, what kind of seeds are you planting today? Would you pray with me?